Thursday is a good day because that means it's one more day until Friday.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is. I forgot to change the lighting on this background. That's why it's dark.
Do you literally have to, why do you have to change this?
Because the camera picks up the lighting on that.
Yeah. I know, but why isn't it just always on the...
Well, because it doesn't auto-adjust. And sometimes this background image is blue, sometimes it's white. One day we will have the technology.
Like green screen technology?
Or, yeah. Or something.
Something, I don't
know. Or something. But anyway, speaking of this actual image, so this is somewhat interesting. Chrome OS is about to add, you can't really see it, it's up here.
Yep.
Virtual desktops, which is... I think it's fair to say that's probably a power user feature.
Mm-hmm. That's actually the most confusing thing about this because Chrome OS obviously has matured a lot, but it is very much a mainstream, you know, user interface, whatever. You can see from that picture, it's ludicrous. It's like really simple. Mm-hmm. In fact, I like this taskbar in particular because there's literally one icon at the bottom of it, which is not what most of those look like. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? They're adapting this thing for Linux apps. There are developers now using it. I'm sure that's the audience that's heading toward.
Yeah. So that is, you know, if you've been holding back on not adopting Chrome OS because it doesn't have virtual desktops,
for that reason,
you are you're going to be in luck here soon.
I think it was mostly because of the apps, but yeah, sure.
It's one or the other. And then I actually haven't read this, but I think Mahedi wrote it. But he said that Apple is now selling iPhone 7 and 8 in Germany. Yeah. But why are they forced to use Qualcomm chips?
Because Qualcomm sued them and prevented the sale of those things because there's a dispute over, I think it's patents or intellectual property of some kind. And so basically what they're forced to sell only Qualcomm-based iPhones there, not Intel-based ones, because the accusation is that Apple sold trade secrets to Intel. And so they temporarily had to take these things off the market in Germany. And I think, I believe in somewhere else too. I don't remember the other location, but this one has been resolved by Apple just selling them with the better modem. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty easy resolution to a dispute, at least in Germany, which makes you wonder about the rest of the world.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
This is, I don't know. You know, this is like, this stuff is like Windows 7 support. Eventually, time's just going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are just going to be gone, you know? So this stuff, it's like when Samsung and Apple went to court and they were complaining about all their phones. And by the time it actually went to court, they were like four generations newer and they weren't even copying each other anymore. And it was like, what are we talking about here? Like, it just doesn't even, it happened. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but it's the past, you know? And right now, the Windows 7 thing, what I mean by that is simply that, you know, Windows 7 is going to come out of support next January, but not really, right? You know, there'll be three more years for those big companies that need it. And, but eventually, we're going to hit a world where, like, Windows 10 is literally it, you know? It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are multiple versions of Windows 10, but, you know, fundamentally, the same OS. You know, there were big UI changes when you go from 7 to 10 or from 7 to 8, you know, whatever. When you go from different versions of Windows 10 to different versions of Windows 10, there really is no major UI change.
Yeah. What was the other thing? Oh, so this was interesting. Well, maybe not, but Apple's video streaming service is expected to launch in April. I'll be curious to see what it has, but...
Yeah, it's not going to have Netflix.
Right.
It's probably not going to have HBO.
Right. Which is why I'm interested. Like, what's it going to be? Obviously, they have the money to buy and create content, but...
Yep. I don't know. I haven't heard what the deal is with the video service or the TV service, whatever you want to call it, with regards to Apple's, you know, piece of the pie. Mm-hmm. Related to this is an Apple News service that's going to be announced apparently at the same time as this TV thing. And that one's a little more controversial because supposedly Apple's taking 50% of the revenues, right? Now, you would think after 2018 and everything happened with those guys raising prices, that them taking a bigger chunk, right, because obviously they take 30% on apps and app purchases, that they, you know, 30% maybe would be the max. But no, they're looking, they want half. which is like an old Eddie Murphy joke. But I've read some bizarre defenses of this. Mm-hmm. My take on this, I may write this up as a premium post. I'm not sure yet, but it basically falls under the category of Apple not learning the lessons of the past. Like, there's a certain hubris to this. And I will admit there is an audience there, right? What's the Apple Music subscriber base? 50 million or some crazy mm-hmm. number? There's some tens of millions that would probably subscribe to something news, TV, whatever related for sure. And maybe that justifies the cost. But the problem with these online services, for as good as cord cutting is in the case of a TV service, is that there are holes everywhere. And, you know, instead of going from like 1,100 channels in your cable system, we now have like 1,100 online services to figure out. And some shows are only available on some things. Mm-hmm. Some things are only available on one thing. Most of these things are paid services. And I know it's not just about the cost, but like it's managing the sheer weight of this stuff. It's like, where was that Star Trek show again? Like, where? How do I see that? It's getting stupid, you know? So if Apple is able to, Apple will always only have a subset. So that's going to be a problem. But I assume the Apple deal here is we're going to present Apple faithful customers with a single UI for a lot of the TV, some amount of the TV content. And I guess I will admit there's some value to that. But the problem is it's never going to be 100%. So it just becomes another thing. You're just adding to the complexity.
The only way, the thing to me that would be of interest, but I don't think this is where they're going, is what happened to the music industry, right? We used to go buy all of our music by CD or even by song on iTunes. If they came out with a service that says was $10 to $15 a month that let you go stream any movie on iTunes, that would be super interesting and a different.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's where they're going.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. That would be amazing, right? So I will say, when you look at things like Netflix as the obvious example, Amazon Prime Video is very much like this. Hulu to a lesser degree. Actually, Hulu really doesn't apply here. There's a lot of crap on those services. And so you do have some 5%-ish of I'm talking movies specifically here, not TV shows. You try to find a good movie on Netflix someday. Like seriously, like a tier A Hollywood blockbuster movie you actually want to watch. I'm not saying they don't exist. There are very few of those. Mm-hmm. What there are a lot of are the things that used to be in the back of the Blockbuster or the local video, you know, the tape rental place.
Yep.
It's like these kind of B movie direct to tape, direct to DVD, craptacular, stupid movies. And both Netflix and Amazon are infested by this kind of thing. Amazon or Apple rather is not going to do that, right? So we know that. That's good. There are certainly apps that run on Apple TV that will bring you those things, Tubi and all those things I mentioned, whatever. They're all out there. It's fine. But yeah, like a high quality subscription service that would do to music what subscription music has done to music, do to movies what subscription music has done to music. I mean, how much would that have to cost before it got, you know, before it was too much, you know? I don't know. Movies are expensive. Right, you know, TV shows are expensive too, right? I don't know when this happened. You probably see this. Like if you go to Apple TV and you're like, the Bohemian Rhapsody movie just came out and I want to rent this, you know, it's a brand new movie. It's not $2. It's like $5.99. Mm-hmm. When did that happen? Those things used to be cheap.
It's every, you know? Honestly, I think it's every time Apple introduces a new resolution. So at first we had like 720p and then it went to 1080 and then 4K. And each time they do that, there's a nice little increase.
Yeah.
And you pay the full amount regardless of the resolution that you watch it in.
So here's the deal. Like if you think about the problem with movies is it's not like music. Most people aren't going to watch many movies multiple times, right? Right. And so it's a different kind of math. You know, when you look at a music service, whether you're actively buying music, which I'm not, I would say these days, but or not, the $10 a month cost for a typical individual is the equivalent of an album. And for the price of one album, you get 30 or 40 or 50, whatever the million figure is now. And, you know, that turns into a no-brainer if you're a music lover, right? A new movie today, the Bohemian Rhapsody thing, a movie of that ilk, is $20 brand new, right? The rental is $6 when that happens, you know, 4 or 6 weeks later. That's a lot of money. I don't know that a lot of people buy those things, you know, like, I mean, some must, but
yeah.
So because we're more casual viewers of movies, in other words, most people probably rent, right? Or just watch them for free on some service already paying for it, whatever it is, mm-hmm. rather than own. What's the dollar figure? Like, that makes sense, right? Is it the price of one new movie a month, which is $20? Yeah. I don't know.
It made me just think of something a little morbid, if you will. So okay. the most movies that we've bought are all for my kid, because she'll watch, Frozen 50 times. She'll watch a movie multiple times. It's cheaper than renting it.
Of course.
So when I die, do I bequeath my iTunes account to her? Like, how does this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do, actually. Yeah. But the thing is, when you die, she's not going to want your iTunes account because it's full of movies for a little kid. She's going to be a parent with her own kids. They don't want to watch Frozen. They want to watch the third iteration of Frozen that now is in, you know, HDR, you know, AR or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I mean, my kids refuse to watch movies in black and white, for example. I find that to be incredibly irritating. No, I mean, they literally, like, they'll just write it off immediately. Like, I'm not watching this. And it's like, guys, seriously, there are unbelievably good black and white movies. But, okay, whatever. I don't know. I mean, I will say with content now, it makes more sense not to own the thing.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
I think that's the one thing that this digital revolution has kind of established, you know? That if I pay for Netflix today and I've paid for Netflix for some number of years and then tomorrow I stop paying for Netflix, I don't get to watch those shows anymore. And that's fine. I don't think I'm, you know, like I think that's okay. You know, we used to really get wrapped up in this ownership thing, but I don't know. I mean, Office is this way, right? This is the model. This is how we've moved forward.
We just borrow things from the corporate overlords. Yeah.
Well, like there's a movie pass. What's it called? Is it called Movie Pass? The $10 a month or whatever it is thing where you can go to the actual theater and watch some number of movies every month for, you know, for some low cost. Theoretically, that's a good idea, right? Because I don't know if you ever go to the movies. I only go a couple times a year usually, but it's really expensive. Like, it's crazy how expensive a trip to the theater is because the movie tickets are expensive. And then, you know, I can't not buy popcorn and everyone wants a drink or a box of chocolates or something. And, you know, $100 later, you and your family walk out of there like, what did I just do? I got yelled at by The Incredibles for 2 hours. Which, by the way, is this a movie full of cartoon people yelling at each other? But anyway, I don't know. Like, but I see the value of it, right? So the movie pass thing, whatever that's called. So I would love to see that. I'd rather see that than an Apple TV service, right? Like Apple's going to make their own shows too. Like we have enough of this stuff. Aren't we already in peak TV? Are you going to be better than the best shows that have ever been on HBO, the best shows that have ever been on Netflix, the handful of good shows that have been on Hulu, and that maybe there are no really good shows on Amazon, but there's a couple, you know, a couple that are decent, you know, Man in the High Tower or whatever, but there's no really, I wouldn't say there's any truly awesome AAA TV shows on Amazon per se, but whatever. I mean, are you going to be better than all that? I don't think so, right? I mean, I don't know.
I can't get this image to change by camera. Whatever. Yep. I want to show you something and see if you recognize this individual. Okay. This is making the rounds. Hold on. Let me. Let me see. All right. We'll just turn this around.
Wow, you're actually going to hold up your laptop.
Can you?
Oh, yeah, that's the woman that runs OneNote, Laura Butler.
Yeah,
Laura.
And can you see what domain that is on?
Oh. You know, it's funny, the blurry picture of the crowd in the background, the guy in the front there, the most prominent one, looks like Ryan Day.
Kind of. So for people who didn't get the joke there, on Google's website, it says integrate G Suite into your learning management system with coursework, and there's a giant picture of Laura Butler. And if you don't know who Laura Butler
is she like a Microsoft technical fellow or something?
Yeah,
or is it?
Yeah, she runs I believe OneNote and like To-Do and a bunch of those systems. Super nice person. She bakes a lot of cookies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And So she is on this image.
So I had heard about this. I didn't see the picture. But of course, she what was she demonstrating? It wasn't G Suite.
Yeah, I'm assuming OneNote, but...
Right.
But the funny thing is there's no mention of the word Microsoft on this page or Laura Butler or OneNote or anything. It's just
they used her picture and didn't say who it was. Oh, that's a little weird. I was going to take this as a kind of a good sign for the relationship there, right? Google, no. I wonder if the people put that up had any idea who that was.
Probably not.
But wouldn't they normally say this is who this is?
You would think.
Is there a caption of any kind?
Nope.
Oh, that's... Mm. So she went to Google, obviously, and gave a little talk.
Mm-hmm. Clear. Hopefully I guess she said something.
Hopefully the talk was called "You Are All Wasting Your Lives," but and then appeared uncredited on. Is that the Google Education site or what's the?
Yeah, it's called CourseKit. Is a set of free tools that helps instructors create, collect, and review coursework.
Well, I mean, OneNote is probably a very common tool in education, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's your moment of zen for you folks.
Actually, to tie in, you and I recorded today the first behind the scenes thing for the Beneath the Surface. I know you know that. I'm just, but you know, so people listening or seeing this will know that now. And you know, OneNote dates back to the beginning of the tablet PC stuff as well, right? Because one of the deals back then was, you know, we're going to be able to write on these things, and it was a note taking thing. It's like we need a note taking app, you know. And also, that is I don't remember the exact year the first version came out, but I remember adopting that in beta form. The first time I heard of it, I was like, oh my God, they wrote an app just for me.
Well, on that happy note, you got anything else to say, Paul?
No, I guess not. It's been kind of a weird, slow week, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, I'm still in a, you know, recovery coma from my travel nightmare on whenever that was, Tuesday.
Yeah, we got about 2 weeks from this weekend for when you go to Barcelona or when the Microsoft event is happening in Barcelona. So,
yep. Yeah, so that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, folks, so that wraps it up for today. Today is Thursday, which means tomorrow it should be Friday, which means we're doing a podcast at 1 p.m. Eastern time. We can find all the information on throughout.com or hit subscribe, and then you'll be notified when we do our thing. If nothing else, have yourselves a wonderful Thursday, and we'll catch you right back here next time.